and UFO Radio. And tonight we're talking to a good friend of mine. I consider her a good friend anyhow, Linda Moore. She has RogueSighting.com, RogueSighting.com, RogueSighting.com. And and also she's the one that did that nice video clip that I have all over my various sites. And thank you so much, Linda Moore, for that.
No problem.
And I got to know Linda when she contacted me, I believe it was last year, where she had a UFO sighting of her own, and she did some excellent documentary of it and set up a website whereas people, you know, and just started documenting everything she could from then on out. And she's got one of the most professional sites on the web, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to documentation, you know, of the site, or you know, of the UFO sightings. Now, you're from South Carolina, right?
Originally I'm from out west, but I've been in South Carolina for about almost 14 years now.
Okay, where out west were you?
New Mexico.
New Mexico. So we're kind of neighbors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was in Arizona. Okay. So what you want to do first is fill people in, take them all the way back there, and you know, to where it all began, and then we can lead up from there, and then afterwards we can discuss a little this and a little that.
Okay. Well, I would say that originally where it all began really is back in July 6th of 2003, where I had filmed a strange object that was pretty much over Somerville, the Charleston area of South Carolina. And basically how that all came awry is where I was sitting in the living room watching TV, and my husband was doing some yard work in the back, and then he asked me to come out and look at some woodwork he was doing. And then he was saying, "Did you see that?" And I was like, "What?" And I was like, "That plane." He said, "No, it's been hanging there for like 30 minutes. And I was kind of like, "You're kidding." He said, "No, well, originally it kind of started on this one spot," which he, if I remember, it was like northeast direction.
Uh-huh.
And then he said it sort of floated over to this one spot, and it's been there for like 30 minutes. And I was like, "Well, why didn't you get me sooner?" Well, just so happened I had my camera stuff out because I was making some online videos for family members out west to upload where they can watch them and whatnot. So I grabbed my camera and I put a tape in there and I started taping it, and sure enough, I caught 3 minutes of the most awesome looking stuff I had ever seen. It was a, it looked like a sphere silver ball with black dense portholes on it, and it would change shape. It would blur out, not exactly to the camera, though, you know, we could get into that also here in a little bit.
And again, these people can see these type of pictures at Rogue. www.roguesighting.com, right?
Yes. Well, right now the website is under construction, but you can, I do have the videos up where
uh-huh.
you can watch frame 227, a closer look. It's a 7-minute short documentary I put together. What that is frame 227 is the clearest still frame I have able to get from the footage from July 2003. And you can clearly see that it's a silver ball with black dots on it.
Yeah.
It's very strange. And those who are familiar with my site, when they go there, they might be, "Oh, you know, there's not much there right now. It's because it's under construction." But the real important part of the actual footage, you can watch it. It's, I believe, 3.5 minutes long. The local news report that they had done in November of 2003 is online. And then also the frame 227, where I did some enhancements, and then another frame still shot, frame 103, where the object seemed more like an aurora of colors, and it was seeming to be like pulsating. So it's pretty interesting, but those who are familiar with the site, if they go there and they are expecting to see what I had, the planetary star charts, the investigation follow-ups, the still frame enhancements, that will all be back. I'm just updating it to where the site is more Mac-friendly, as well as those who are on Windows and that, so it'd be more
yeah.
compatible for everybody.
Yeah, that's my problem with my site, is it just is not Mac-friendly,
yeah.
you know.
So I'm being very meticulous about it, but there is enough there that, I mean, if you go on, I have a center image of the still frame where it's showing some brief enhancements that I did in Flash animation. And then if you actually want to see the footage, the full footage from 2003, it's in the upper right-hand corner. You just click on the orange button that says Watch, and it'll play it for you. And then I have to the very far right, where you have to grab your scroll bar and kind of roll over, there's some artist renditions of frame 211 and 213 and a couple of others. And then it also has the object that was in the actual frame and then my interpretation of what the object looked like to me. Overall, I haven't had too many people disagree. The majority of folks who have visited my site tend to agree that, yes, it was definitely something genuine and it was something other than, say, a UAV or something of an unmanned military type. It wasn't a low-Earth orbiting satellite, space debris, nothing of that sort. I've talked to retired military personnel here in the area, folks that I've come across abroad, in fact, people who have watched the footage and kind of took their own look at it. The majority, I would say 85% agree that I did film something definitely genuine.
Now,
I have yet to find an explanation, but I would say it is definitely weird.
Yeah. No, Melinda did it the right way. What she did is she eliminated all the known possibilities first.
Yeah. You know? Very tedious work.
Yeah, very, very, very tedious. But you know, I sent you a video clip that we had done on, because we started seeing the UFO sightings just about the same time, I believe. And I sent you a nighttime shot that Coral Gale had done here.
Yeah, I remember.
And that nighttime shot, the reason I sent it to you was because it reminded me so much of 227.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of those black dots on the bottom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought of when I saw it too. I was like, there's that same critter. Look at that.
That's yeah.
Pretty interesting.
And then with mine, what's nice is because you've got the daytime, I've got the nighttime.
Yeah.
And with my nighttime, you can see how the propulsion actually works because, it seemed as it took off, it left that green.
Yeah,
you know?
It did. It sure did.
Yeah. So that kind of helped too, to be able to. Because I really do think that by the looks of 227 and that shot that I've got of Coral Gales, they sure look like the same baby.
It sure does. And like I was saying, those who are new to the site, if they go there and they're, we don't see much, it does state on there that I am working on some stuff. And those who are familiar with the site, they'll know that there's a lot that's not posted right now. But there is enough there right now online to give everyone enough to digest to what was going on and what I've gone to, what extent of trying to figure out what it is.
Uh-huh. I tried to do a right-click, save as, for your banner, to put your banner up on my site. But it's got a copyright thing protection, so you'll have
I'll
send me something.
I got one that has a few images of the different shots through the footage from July 2003.
Uh-huh.
I'll send you one here later this evening.
Yeah, because it would be nice to have a banner.
You know.
But I'm so impressed. What did you used to do before? Before you got so involved in this, or are you still, do you still have the same job, or?
Well, what I'm doing now is I'm pretty much, I was basically like in retail management for almost 12 years.
Uh-huh.
Got totally burnt out on it.
Uh-huh.
And pretty much what I do now is like freelance type merchandising stuff. So I'm not really what you call in the mainstream. I'm just kind of like behind the scenes setting things up in stores and that, but I'm really not involved like in the public eye or, helping anyone or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
But as far as what I would really like to do, which is obviously like the web design, I've always had a thing about putting short films together, editing, putting, like making short stories within like a short amount of time to where it feels like a full story, but you're not sitting through the whole drug out 2-hour duration.
Kind of like a little trailer or
exactly. There you go. To where enough. Where someone, like, there's a new project that I'm working on. It's going to be called Objects of Mystery.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you saw that trailer on my site or not. I could send you a link to that as well.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm on your site right now.
It's going to be about objects of mystery, whether it's from UFO or whether it's from, like, the search for Atlantis, Stonehenge, mm-hmm. the you know, the Galapagos Islands, the...
So kind of like a mini sci-fi show.
Yes.
Oh, wonderful.
Like that. Yeah, something a little bit of a mystery element where, you know, things that I found that were always interesting and had, you know, it's mysterious. No one knows what is, you know, the cause of how they came to be. Not exactly the pyramids, because I feel the whole aspect of the pyramids, everyone's covered that. I try to find the smaller things that are just as mysterious, but they're not as much in the spotlight as, you know, like, for example, the pyramids.
Yeah, there's something that has been done to death.
Exactly. There you go. So I'm not sure exactly. I have a few ideas in line, and I don't have them here in front of me, but I'm guessing it'll probably be like 20-minute spotlights where folks can download and, you know, get the gist of it. And so far with what I've put out there, I've had really great feedback. Everyone seems to enjoy it. And, you know, everyone's asking, hey, when's your next thing? What else are you going to be doing? So it's getting pretty interesting.
Well, actually, I haven't said anything to you about this because I've been waiting to get you on the show first.
Okay.
But because I get so many compliments, you know, on that video clip that you did for us, you know, for BUFO.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and then I know that there's a lot of sites now that's carrying it. I think the newest is Jerry Pippin said that he wanted to carry it, and then Feet to Fire said that they were going to put it on their site.
Cool.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, and then, you know, basically, you know, it's pretty much set up, you know, where people, you know, the, most people know that I don't mind if they put stuff of mine up there, you know, on their sites. You know, I'm pretty much out there, so any information I do have, I try to get as much information up there as possible for the purpose of sharing it, you know,
right,
with the public, you know. So, and most people realize that, so when they see something kind of neat of mine, you know, they just put it up and then they link it back to my sites, which is fine. So anyhow, I know that the video that you did, the film, how did you name it, you gave it a special name. What was it? I see that you have it on your site too.
Oh, yeah,
thank you so much. A Mary Sutherland film.
Yeah.
You can just click onto that, but it's a Paranormal BUFO Radio. And then you click onto that, and it's about four minutes long. And she compiled, you know, different things that she found on my site, you know, so the pictures are like a picture story of the UFO and Mary Sutherland, you know, and the work I've done. So anyhow, it's excellent. So there's a couple projects that I've been working on, and I wanted to get with you and see if you wouldn't do some more video film clips for me. You know.
Yeah, sure.
And of course, you know,
I mean, I really enjoy doing it. I'm just glad that the feedback has been so grand and so great that everyone's like, wow, this is pretty cool. It's just something I really enjoy doing. And yeah, definitely, wherever I can help, sure.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, you know, I don't know how much you know about my work that I've been doing in Carbondale.
Yeah.
The UFO crash in Carbondale.
Yeah.
But that's been like a 3-year project.
Wow.
And I just got back last year from Brad, and I drove from to Pennsylvania, you know, so that we could actually, you know, see, you know, what was going on there. And we've got a lot of interest on it. And I have a feeling that if I worked with you on the project, you know, and you could do a video clip of it, we might be able to get some interest, you know, of history or sci-fi.
Yeah,
so,
cool.
Anyhow, so, but I wanted to wait until, because I didn't know if you were, I knew that you had done this one, you know, as a, you know, just a nice, kind gesture from a
sure.
sister taking care of sister, but I didn't know if you wanted to actually do anything on a, you know, more of a business level, you know, but now that I know you do, then I'll promote the heck right out of what you're doing,
yeah,
you know, and let
great.
People, because I'd love to let people, you know, say, hey, you know, if you like this, you know, this is what Linda can do for you, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, I mean, this is so needed out there.
Yeah.
Because there's nobody out there that's really doing anything quite like this.
Right.
You know, we've all got websites where we got, you know, still pictures up, and we've got video clips, you know, that we've taken with our cameras or people have sent in to us.
Yeah.
But nothing like this. Because this is like a little mini sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you call it sci-fi, but
I've been getting some great feedback also that, you know, there's, I've had folks that said, I've been, you know, to Mary's site and I saw what you did and that's, you know, wow, that's great. And I've had a few other requests where other folks are saying, if I ever end up, you know, coming across something, if I have footage, would you be willing to add it to any of your future projects? You know, it just leads from one thing to the next to the next.
Oh, I know. I mean, this is, it's just wonderful.
Well, thanks.
And it all started. Isn't that amazing how synchronicity works? Because
yeah.
It all started with you just looking up in the sky one day in South Carolina, and there it sat.
Yeah, that is. And, you know, the thing is I've had a few emails from here in the Low Country area of South Carolina. I've had a few folks that were saying, you know, they were glad I had made the site because they had seen something similar to what I saw. And then when they try to tell their family and friends, they're like, yeah, whatever. But then when they find the website and they show it to their friends and family, they're like, oh, wait a second. They're like, well, see, this individual saw this too. But, you know, she's got pictures of it, and you can watch the footage. And then they would say there were certain parts in the footage that was exactly to what they had saw. Either it was one or the other, or both variations, where it seemed like a distortion kind of phasing in and out, and then all of a sudden it was just a silver ball.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I've had emails where folks were saying, it's the camera, it was trying to focus in. Well, like I said, the majority agree that it is something definitely unique.
Well, that's one of the reasons I sent you in my video clip, you know, or the one that Coral Gale had done, because I wanted it where it was accessible to you if you wanted to do anything with it, you know, put it on your site or something as a comparison.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, those two are, to me, almost identical.
Yeah.
So it can't possibly be the camera when you're all the way down in South Carolina and I'm up in Wisconsin.
Right.
You know, and of course, one was a daytime and one was a nighttime, so they complemented each other so well.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah. Even now, doesn't it get frustrating though when you put in all this work and you send it to some of the UFO reporting centers, and they send you back something saying, nice work, but unfortunately,
yeah,
what you have is Venus.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's something I did look into deeper in that. As in December, if with I call it the sightings, and this weird objects or whatnot I might have filmed in December, you go to the strange sighting links on my homepage of roguesighting.com. And when you go there, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but I have like 7 different clips of the highlights of what I had filmed during that month. And it was very strange. And I also have there in text that I'm currently working on a project as far as exploring all the possibilities of what that was. And again, I'm getting a lot of feedback where folks are saying that, you know, they've done their own clocking and position, that it was in the same general vicinity of Venus, but yet the characteristics of, well, it shows the spinning and the strange burst where it just seems to be going crazy and all of a sudden it just kind of calms down. There's a lot that feel that I did film something else other than a planet. And then I get, I would say, 20% that are saying, hey, you know, I looked through my telescope, that was Venus. So it's interesting to see the comparison between the, you know, the feedback of people who are watching them, and whether it's, you know, disagreeing or agreeing or not sure, because, you know, it's just interesting to me. I mean, it was strange. That's all I can say.
Well, now, this is, I thought about this Venus deal. And I tried to place myself in as a space visitor, you know, coming to a planet, you know, and to, you know, to observe what they were doing. Now I got this great big vehicle, craft that I'm in, right? Well, I don't want that thing standing out like a sore thumb.
Right.
So if I was going to observe, somehow I'd try to camouflage it in a way that it wouldn't be noticeable. And, you know, I would try to put it in a position of where there would be a star or a planet, so as people looked up to the sky, they would say, oh, well, that's one of their planets. It only makes sense.
Right.
You know? And so just because a person looks up in the sky in the area of Venus, don't always expect it to be Venus. I've gotten a lot of reports too on UFOs camouflaging themselves in the position around Mars.
Oh,
or
really?
not Mars, but the Moon.
Wow.
You know, because a lot of times they can be in the position between Earth and Moon, and the Moon's so big that
yeah.
they're not going to show up because, you know, of the Moon itself.
That's
unless they're off to the side or something, you
right.
know, which we've gotten pictures, you know, of the Moon being a nice, perfect, you know, circle, and then right next to it you'll see some blob, you know. And the only thing we can think of is that it was a big craft, you know, illuminating itself.
Well, I would say out of the footage I have posted from this past December on the strange sighting uplink, the one footage from December 4th, it's about a minute and 50 seconds long. I mean, right at the beginning, it's showing to be this strange kind of pulsating, I guess you can say, crazy pulse. I mean, it's like there's lights coming from it, or it seems to be almost like it's a round sphere of light spinning, and then it seems to open up and there's like a green color or a round greenish object inside of it.
Yeah.
That is just weird. And I mean, I've looked at different, because I'm going to be getting...
Now, is that, do you think that's like that clip that I sent you? Because I know that as it seemed like when it was sitting above Burlington,
yeah.
it just before it took off, it's like they turned on some sort of propulsion engine or something, and this green started to pulsate, and then it when it took off, you know, that there was almost like a green flare.
I don't know. This is like if you pause it, there's a. I think it's like the first 30 seconds of the clip from December 4th.
No, this is at roguesighting.com.
Yes.
/strange.
Yes.
Is there sound on that one?
Yes, there is.
Oh, okay. I can't. I could click onto it, but if I did, then the sound would, you know, interfere with what
but
we're saying.
It's just, I think that is the weirdest one. And then there's another one, I believe it was on the 12th, where sirens and stuff were going off in the background, and I remember saying it would be interesting if this object reacted to the sirens, and then all of a sudden it just goes crazy, like this huge burst. Where it's just, and I'm not touching the camera. I mean, rest assured, it's sitting on a tripod.
Yeah.
I finally bought myself a tripod. And, you know, the camera's sitting still, and I'm not even near it. And then when I was saying, it would be interesting to see this react to the sirens, and then all of a sudden it just kind of does that huge, where I guess it kind of balloons up, and then it looks like it's doing the spinning motion where the light's kind of protruding from it in different directions. It is just really weird.
Really? I'll have, after we get done with the show, I'll have to go and click onto it and see it. We have another computer up. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that looks to me like, I'm looking at it now, and that looks like if you were standing below it looking up, it looks to me like that propulsion system that they have, the engine.
Is this the wildest thing?
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, well, that's what it looks like to me. I mean, you know, but of course, anyone listening, you know, go there, click on to, that would be December 4th, the 1 minute 50 second, and you decide what you think it is, but that's what it looks, you know, because basically that's, you know, that's what I was seeing too, you know, and it seemed like it would really flare up, like it was generating energy.
Exactly.
You know, building up, I don't know, well, just building up energy so that it could take off. Did it shoot off afterwards or no?
No, it just kind of went from one spot to the next, sometimes in a drifting motion, and then other times it would do like the burst of energy where it looked like it was going to almost evaporate, but then it would just kind of collect itself. It was the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, there's folks that would say, it was your camera going in and out of focus, which I'm not saying that's not a variation, but of what I gather, I believe my camera was on manual focus. I took it off of autofocus after the sighting from July 2003. I had a lot of feedback of everyone giving, you know, which was great, giving advice about cameras and, you know, the different types of settings and the DIS, the digital stabilizing for the camera and the footage to keep the object steady. And, of course, you know, things happen so quickly, I didn't have time to scroll to the menu of my camera and then take it back up and look up the sky.
Always wonder about that. These people, you know, they'll contact us and say, "Well, you should have done this, and you should have done that," but they don't realize how quick this happens, and it's just like to get this on film. Sometimes it's like almost like a split second decision.
Yeah.
And most of the time, what happens is the people don't even have a camera on them.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, geez, sometimes I just look at it, we're lucky enough to just get it.
Yeah, exactly.
But we have another lady. As you were shooting down there in South Carolina, we had another lady in the Chicago suburb area that also was shooting something quite similar to yours. And she had hers on a tripod, too.
Oh.
And it was... And you know, she also sent it to me, and I sent it to a few people, and then, you know, there was, you know, the same type of a thing that I'd sent back to you that one time,
yeah,
saying it looks like Venus.
Yeah.
But, and she got so frustrated over it, because, you know, it's just like, I mean, we know how Venus, you know, positions itself in the sky,
right,
but these objects, they move around.
Yeah.
You know, they come down, they go up, they move to the right, to the left. They come in at various times of the day, various times of the night. It's not like they're sitting up there all the time.
Right.
You know, and then you can watch them for maybe 15 minutes, and boom, they're gone. They'll just kind of boom, fade out. Or I wonder, sometimes I wonder if they're fading out, if it's just that they're pulling further back into space. You know,
yeah, I've kind of thought the same thing with the footage that I got from December that just passed. There was a lot of times I was like, well, where to go? And then it's like, well, there it is. And it, yeah, the way it kind of fades and comes back, that sounds pretty feasible.
Yeah. But, so, I mean, you know, you sky watchers, what you need to do is just watch that sky, and if you see something up there, you know, I know we're all conditioned to think it's a planet of some sort.
Yeah.
But watch it, because a planet's going to behave in a certain way. But these unknown objects, trust me, they're not acting like a planet. They're moving around and coming in at various times and leaving. Another thing, what was I was going to say? Oh, darn it. Oh, I hate that. Huh. Gosh darn it, what was it? Huh. Yeah, my big mouth. I should have just kept right. As that thought came there, I should have just stopped and, huh? Oh gosh, darn it! Oh well, it'll come to me soon. I hope, because it was kind of important. But anyhow, so your first sighting was 2003, right?
Yeah, almost 3 years ago.
Yeah, and then they quit.
Well,
and then
that
it came,
I wouldn't say.
Or you just noticed?
I wasn't as with everything else that was going on with me. I didn't really have time to stop and look up.
Uh huh.
But I did get a few emails where folks would say, you know, I saw something 2 weeks ago going down Highway 17. You know, that seemed like it was about a half mile overhead. And then I would have other people say, you know, outside of Folly Beach, hey, I saw something like that around dusk, where it was, you know, close to the horizon out over the ocean. And, in fact, there was a huge sighting in Myrtle Beach later, I think it was September 2003, where a group of retired people had saw a lot of orange orbs out off the coast of Myrtle Beach, and they had reported it to the police. And I recall that they said that it was... flares that, you know, the Coast Guard was doing exercises, routines and stuff, and of what I gather that there was no operations going on at any time. And, of course, you know, the witnesses were saying, hey, you know, we're not senile. We're all retired professional people. Some of us were in the military. We know what a flare looks like. So of what I gathered, that was like the biggest thing that had occurred, of what I gather. And then just occasional emails that I get from folks here in the Low Country where, you know, thanks for having that because I was trying to explain to my wife that I saw something like this. And then it's like you have a picture of it and he's like, okay, we'll see. That's what it looked like. And then it just kind of gives a revelation for everyone. They kind of step back and say, wow, someone else saw it too. Wow, you know, it's pretty interesting.
Now, I've also noticed that with these, like when I'm watching the sky, I've noticed that, like stars, they have like a whitish blue look.
Yeah.
But when you first see these, before your eyes start focusing on them, you know, where you can see the blues and greens and that, but
right.
When you first look up and you see them, they're not like a whitish blue, like a star.
Right.
They're look like an artificial light. They're like a white yellow. Like
yeah.
If you looked up and you saw like an airplane there, the lights off a plane, you know,
right.
the yellow white. And it's very, you know, once you realize that there's a difference in the color, then it's not that hard to pick these babies out. And then after that, it's just stopping long enough to start observing.
Yes.
And then if you start focusing your eyes on them, you know, if they're low enough, you'll be able to see red, green, you know. And then, of course, if you can get a picture of it and you put it in a photo editor, you know, where you can enlarge it, then you could really see something nice.
Oh, yeah.
But that's what I always look for, is that yellow-white light up there.
Yeah.
That moves.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh,
very interesting, to say the least.
Now, I also, my husband brought it up. Well, my husband first brought it up, and then I talked to another UFO researcher that verified what my husband had said. We have different people that'll come in. Well, I take them out, you know, on weekends and that, you know, because this UFO that we've got here, it hangs around, it's been hanging around since 2003. Now, this winter, it left for a while, for about maybe 2-3 months.
Yeah.
Now it's coming back again. And I thought to myself, oh, darn, it's gone, it'll never come back. But, you know, as they seem to, once they find an area, I've noticed lately they position themselves. And I wrote back to you and I told you that.
Yeah.
This last time that you shot that picture,
yeah.
You said that it kind of disappeared. And I said, don't be surprised if it comes back. Because,
yeah,
because I had noticed that they seem to be doing that. It used to be years ago, they were all random sightings.
Right.
But now, it's like they're setting up positions. And they're staying there. They'll come and go, but sometime before the night is over, before the day is over, they'll be back doing
right.
something. So anyhow, so on the weekends, you know, like last summer, you know, we do these haunted tours, you know, out in the woods, and you know, it was like it's almost like that UFO knew when I was going to be out there. Well, actually, there was a certain pattern I had. You know, I'd take them out at, 8 o'clock, I think, and we'd be out there until 10. And it got to the point that every night we went out there, I could take them to a certain location and almost guarantee them that they would have a UFO sighting.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, you know, it would just show up. And it would come down, you know, and pull back out, move to the right, move to the left, do their flashing and all that stuff.
Right.
Well, there was a few people that turn around and says, oh, well, you know, that all that is a satellite.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And my husband says, listen, a satellite can't do that. Because, one, a satellite has to, if it's going to stay stationary at all, it has to be out of our atmosphere.
Exactly.
You know, to get away from gravity.
Right, exactly.
And the size of these satellites, they'd be too small. for us to be able to see with our naked eye.
That's right.
Because, you know, so he says, you got a problem there, because you'd never see that's a satellite from Earth, you know, up
yeah,
there in the atmosphere.
Technically, if we were able to see the satellites in orbit, we would be blind.
Right. And then he says, and another thing is, if it was a satellite, okay, that was inside of our orbit, within our gravity.
Right.
He says it'd have to be moving.
Because
otherwise it would drop.
That's right.
So he says, don't let anybody try to convince you it's a satellite, because he says it's impossible. Because right now, he says, we don't have the technology it takes to have something sitting up there, you know, in within the influence of our gravity, and you know that that could be doing what these are doing, because they'll sit up there for, you know, hours, you know. And if we did, the only thing that could possibly be something like that is it would be using so much fuel, you know, to maintain, you know, like a steady position, you know.
Yeah.
That it wouldn't be feasible for our government to be doing something like that.
That's true. They're busy more on the nuke heads and weapons of destruction.
Well, especially the fact if they're going to be using something like that and spending all that money in a fuel, you know, to keep something up there hovering, they're going to be focusing it on areas other than some of these areas that these UFOs are spotted in. I mean,
right.
You know, some of these areas, there's nothing there.
Exactly.
Why would the government be taking their all their, you know, resources and
right.
putting it into something in Timbuktu?
Right.
You know.
It'd be more of something of a, perhaps in the Middle East, or something of more of a threat in nature than just out in the boondocks.
Yeah, like for national security. I could even see, like, maybe some sort of a some sort of a probe of some sort over a large city,
right?
You know, being able to watch things. But even that, I don't think what we're using there is satellites out in space,
right?
That can, you know, focus down on a certain area. You know,
but, you know, this reminds me of with the object I had filmed in 2003, in all honesty, the only logical explanation was the Aerosphere SA-60 airship, which I believe the company that makes them is called 21st Century, and they do they're doing these huge, enormous aerospheres that's two man. In fact, they broke the what was the elevation? They went, I believe, 20,000 feet. It might have been higher. I had the report on it. It's a roguesighting.com/helium. And for the skeptics, and of course somewhat the skeptic and myself, I found pictures of the airship and I compared it to the object I filmed. First off, the diameter of it is like huge. Some of these are like the size of football fields. And they did a lot of test runs in 2004, 2003, outside Washington, D.C. And according to CBS News, there was a record jump of over like 2,000 UFO sightings where these aerospheres were up in the sky. But if you go to that page and you see...
How are you spelling that? I know roguesighting.com, but helium, H-E-L-I-U-M?
Yeah.
Because I did that, H-E-L-I-U-M... It says page cannot be found.
It's
.html maybe.
.htm. There we go.
Oh, helium. Okay, helium. .htm.
Yeah, it should come up.
Nope.
Let me see if it addresses. It's roguesighting.com/helium.htm.
H-E-L. How do you spell helium?
H-E-L-I-U-M.
page.htm?
Yes.
I still do it and it still comes up page. Can that be found?
Try a capital H on helium.
Okay.
See if it's being very specific.
Okay. Yep, here we go. Yep, you have to, yep, so listeners, you have to use a capital H on that.
Okay.
All right, here we go.
Yeah, it's got the Aerosphere SA-60. For me, I had to find something, and this is the only thing available to the civilian sector that I could find that somewhat resembled what I filmed, but yet the diameter is totally different. Of course, the object I filmed, there's no way of telling the diameter, how far it was, how close it was, because there's no way of telling.
Yeah, but another thing, too, when you look directly underneath one of these things, you can see the propulsion engine,
yes.
You know, and how it builds up, and it you can see the flame of the almost like a green plasma. Of
yeah.
sorts,
yeah.
Which I'm not seeing anything that would produce something like this. This is almost looks like a huge helium balloon.
Exactly. But for those who are, you know, because I had a few that were saying, well, maybe it's a UAV. And, of course, the page isn't up now because I'm rebuilding the site. But I did have a very large index of every possible UAV from the X-45A, and then there's also the X-50, there's also the Greyhawk, then there's the one called the Dark Star. There's like thousands of different ones, and I went through the NASA library and I found the ones that seemed, you know, a possible explanation, but many of those had large wingspans, you know, with huge tails on them. They had different objects, cameras and things protruding from different sides. And, you know, none of those seemed to add up to the object that I had filmed. I mean, I went through, I don't know how many hours of going through different images and footages, and I couldn't find anything. So as far as logical, that's the only thing I could find. But, and I mean, in all honesty, it still does not add up to what I had seen or filmed.
No, uh-uh. Now, these look like, are these engine-propelled, or... Are they just float?
What I gather, they are helium-based, and they have two... If you look at the one picture on the right side where it says Cyber Aerospace, you can see the two props. There's one on each side.
Uh-huh.
And at the very bottom, you can see two black dots. That's actually two pilots sitting inside the Aerosphere.
Uh-huh.
And that's where they're getting them rigged up with cameras, and they're pretty much... I'm sure by now they have them unmanned. And, because this is like, from June of 2003. So I'm sure they've come quite a bit farther from that time. But, it was June of 2003 is when they broke the setting of going 20,000 plus feet into the stratosphere.
Okay, well, this is good that you did this, though, because now we know that there are these round helium balloon type, what would you call them? I hate to call them spy probes or anything like that, but what would you call them? Observatory balloons or something? Observation balloons?
Yeah, I gather that's pretty much what they're intended for. They're saying they're in mind for national defense and that, and. Of what I gather, Cyber Aerospace has an agreement with TechSphere System, which is also called TSI, that they're doing the exclusive sales and marketing agent for these Sphere School, the Sphere airships. So it's obviously a very big contract, and I'm sure that sooner or later that I'll definitely be seeing one of these. But as far as in 2003... I am pretty sure that it wasn't what I had filmed.
No.
For the skeptics out there, that's the best, closest thing I could find.
Yeah. And now, how many did you say that they produced?
This is back in July 2003. And
because knowing the Army, okay, and how much they pay for anything,
right.
These babies, they're not coming cheap.
Right. I mean, they're enormous. I mean, they go from 500 yards up to the size of a football field.
Uh-huh.
They're enormous. So I'm sure, of like I was saying, when they were doing the test runs of these airships, or air spheres is what they're calling them, I guess. There was over 2,000 reports in the Washington, D.C. areas of seeing these, you know, white balls in the sky. So naturally, people were, you know, they weren't aware of what the projects were. They would just wake up and look outside and, oh my God, there's this big round ball in the sky. So, you know, naturally, that was pretty much the playoff of any other unexplained sightings that would happen to be in the Washington area. So, in a sense, it's kind of like a scapegoat for other explanations. So it's like if you're in the daylight and you see something strange, well, it was one of those air spheres.
Yeah. Just another thing to add confusion to everything.
Exactly.
But like I said, even one wouldn't be cheap.
Exactly.
So I would say that they probably don't have that many out there. And the ones that they do have, they're going to be concentrating in areas such as Washington, D.C. would be a very good spot to have something like that,
right,
where they could watch what was going on at all times. Yeah, that kind of reminds me. Wasn't it that was 2005. It was last summer. Remember, there was something that violated the airspace right over Washington,
D.C.
Oh, right,
and they said it was just a glitch on the radar?
Yeah. But when... Like I said, these would be something good to have over, like, the main cities. So, I mean, there's always that possibility, but as much as they cost, I wouldn't expect to see too many out there. They'd be great for down there on the Mexican border, Mexican-U.S.
Most
border.
Definitely. They need something.
Oh, it's getting ridiculous down there, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know?
It is. It's getting... It's just something I find interesting is they're spending all this money in Iraq, but yeah, we can't even, you know, lock our own back door. So.
Yeah. And now I hear that the Mexican army is actually coming across our borders.
That's what I've heard.
You know, they're being used for the front men for drug running, and it's getting bad down there. I don't know. But anyhow, these balloons would be good for that. But, of course, just having manpower down there would even be better yet.
That is true.
You know, they're talking about investing all this money for this high-tech observation equipment, you know, when basically all they'd need to do is pull our people back home and put them to work down there on the border.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so. But anyhow, going back to this... that's good. I'm glad. I'll refer people to this site because it's something to watch out for, you know, at least to use as elimination process.
Exactly. I mean, that's the whole reason why I put it together, not just to satisfy my own curiosity, but also for, like I said, I've had a great deal of emails over the years where people are just saying, you know, hey, thanks for putting that up because I was a little stumped on trying to explain what I saw. And even if it didn't cover anything close to what they had seen, it still kind of puts the perspective of how to describe what they saw.
I've been working on something, too. I'm trying to think of UFO history. Whoops. Yeah, I think it's under... I'm trying to remember all my websites as something else. let's see. Okay. Going to Carbondale. I was working on the Carbondale sites when I came across this, so I know I got a link on it there. Oh, okay. Well, now, see, I try to do what you do, you know, process of elimination.
Yeah.
Take the, know something, eliminate all the things that are known.
Right.
You know, because, you know, that's how I feel that we really need to do it. But what I did is I went and put a site up. It's burlingtonnews.net/Carbondale UFO history. And there it I go back to a brief history of UFOs prior to 1974. Or, well, actually, I titled it 74, up to 74, but actually it takes it all the way up to today. But what I did is, and it's based off George Fawcett's work, The Year of the UFO. And in there, it talks about the beginning of Area 51.
Right.
And the top secret planes, you know, that we were putting together at that point in time. I think, let me see if I got a connecting the dots, maybe. Okay, I'm just trying to make sure that I'm using the right one there. But, yeah, I think that was it. But anyhow, it talks about the U2s and, you know, and it takes you all the way up to the Aurora. And, you know, and it shows that we did have a lot of top secret projects going on, you know, that people could have identified or misidentified as a UFO that the government did not tell us about because of the fact of being top secret.
Oh, yeah.
But and some of them were V-shaped. But everything that I have been going through, including the stealth, including the Aurora, they just don't fit a lot of these UFO sightings.
Yeah.
Unless there's something out there that we still don't know about.
Exactly.
And of course, you know, we know that there has been a lot of down crashes. You know, down UFO crashes, whether it be whether they're coming from another world, or if they're interdimensional, or I don't know. But I do know that they're not ours. And we know that that would be Lockheed Martin, Skunk Works, as being the contractors, they have been reverse engineering some of these. So, I mean, there's always the possibility that we have all these UFOs that look just exactly like these off-world UFOs that are actually being manned by U.S. pilots, too.
Yeah.
And, of course, they're not going to tell us about that one either. You know, but, I mean, I read this one website where, you know, it was based on Lockheed Martin, okay? And anyhow, the website says, is there going to be any airspace left for the real UFOs?
Huh.
You know, so, you know, I mean, there again, there's another possibility that, that these, a lot of the UFOs are our own,
right,
that are being reverse engineered from somebody else's.
I see. Yeah, that's very possible, definitely.
And if so, we have to ask ourselves, what are they doing sitting over our house? You know, now, if they're, you know, off-worlders, I kind of call them off-worlders in ignorance of the aliens, but if they're off-worlders, I would imagine they're just curious as to what we're doing. They're observing, you know, maybe taking samples of vegetation, water, you know, maybe even, you know, samples of us, you know, like how if we go to the doctor takes blood, you know, and various things like that, you know, to get some sort of a history on us. So, I mean, you know, I can see that. But then my concern more so is if they're ours. Then I have to ask myself, why would our government be sitting over our house with this multi-billion dollar machine,
right? You
know, studying us.
More productive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does make sense. You know, but and then with all the things that we have going on right now, okay, we've got all these top secret crafts like the Aurora and different things, and then we put the stealth and that, you know, that they do look a lot like these V-shaped scout crafts.
Yeah.
But the thing is, and so, you know, right now, it is confusing for a lot of people of what they're seeing up there.
Right.
But we do know one thing. We're seeing something that the government hasn't released to us as a known craft. So it still fits in the category of a UFO. But the thing is, there was a time, and it hasn't been that long ago, that we had up until the probably early 50s, we wasn't reverse engineering. So we can go back to photos and paintings, even cave pictures, you know, a cave dwelling, you know, like, what do they call them, cave drawings.
Yes, yeah.
Showing these same type of crafts.
Yeah.
So, which proves that, you know, it's not the UFO, it's not the United States government, it's not China, it's not Russia that came up with the idea.
Yeah.
That these, whoever we got the information from of how to build these, if we have them, we got them from somebody else that's not of this earth. So you were saying?
Yeah, I was saying that you were mentioning about with the cave drawings, and I was saying also in Renaissance pictures.
Yeah. Yeah, what was that, the Virgin Mary and child? You know,
yeah.
There in the background, it shows some sort of a peasant with his dog.
Yeah.
And he's pointing up to the sky, and there's and he's pointing at a UFO.
Yeah, very weird. I mean, you can zoom in on it, and you can clearly see that it's definitely not, you know, a depiction of an angel. It's a strange spherical object with, I can't tell if it's like orbs attached to it or if it's just the ship itself or the object or whatever it was depicting. But in any case, yeah, it was definitely not anything that's considered, you know, regular by a Bible image.
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there, you know, that are trying to get this information out, like you. I mean, you know, God bless you. I know the hours you're putting into this.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, your website shows that. You know, I mean, you're trying to get the truth to the public, you know, and you're doing it in a professional manner. You're going into these archives, and pulling these photos out and getting the information on what things could possibly be. I mean, your work, I mean, there's, as far as I'm concerned,
yeah.
And we're talking about I'll put your work up against MUFON's. I'll put your work up against anyone's, because yours isn't just a generalization site, you know, a UFO sighted at such and such place at such and such time, possible bird, possible Venus, da-da-da. You've got your site up. You've got your videos. You're sitting down. You're going through these. You're saying, you know, and you're putting up all the possibilities. You're giving your opinion, and then you're leaving it open for the reader to make up their own mind.
Yeah, exactly.
So I mean, as far as all my listeners are concerned, I'm telling you that if there's one place that I see that if you really, but of course, Linda don't have the time either, but boy, I'll tell you, if you need information, you've got something. If Linda's got the time to help you, this is the place that you want to go to get some help. And if she doesn't have the time, this is a great place to get started, to learn, so that you can do what Linda did and start on your own and do your own research. Because
yeah,
that's what Linda did.
That's what I really encourage.
Because that's what you did. Because up until 2003, you wasn't interested in this stuff.
Not really. I mean, when I was growing up out in New Mexico, I saw some weird lights here and there.
Oh, yeah,
But, you know, wow, cool, that was it. But until, you know, I actually got this strange occurrence on film, then I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
And what really has driven me about the whole thing is not just the object itself, but what is driving it? What is, if not controlling it, what is its origin? Where did it come from? How is it being controlled? Because, I mean, a lot of times, generally, people think of spaceship, they think there's someone sitting inside of it flying around.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, is it like, was this thing of an organic cellular level? I mean, was it just something of top secret? Again, if it's top secret, again, well, then what was controlling it? Who is controlling it? How did it come to be? You know, it's like, what is its structure base? What is it created from? I mean, you could just go on and on and on. You know how it is, where you could just actually get into a mind well of just going with all these questions and questions. So I honestly don't think I will ever find a true, solid answer, but I feel that I have explored everything that I could possibly explore. Like with the star charts, when I first released the footage out, I had a few folks saying, that's Jupiter. You filmed Jupiter.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Jupiter was out west towards the horizon, opposite direction. And again, my site's under construction, so if anyone goes there, the video and that's there, but the rest of the info that a lot of regulars to the site are used to seeing, give it a few weeks. I'm getting it brushed up, and it'll all be back up, but there was a lot of content there, and there will be the content back up, just updated illustrations and whatnot.
Well, you know, I agree with you, and I was studying the work of Jack Bali.
Yeah.
And he's written several different wonderful books, I suggest that people do a web search on him. On it would be J A C Q U E S, and then Vallee, Jacques Vallee. But anyhow, he's written books like Forbidden Science. I think the Year of the what was it? The Year of the Saucers or something. But anyhow, he's written a lot of books on this. He was a researcher.
I think I know who you're talking about. I just haven't had a chance to really indulge myself in, you know, other things.
Oh, I know.
It rings a bell with me with what you're talking about.
He feels the same way as we do. The search, okay, the treasures we're going to find is not going to be in proving UFOs or even proving who these people are. But where the real treasure is going to lie is the science behind it all.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm really intrigued about. It's like, okay, I saw something. Other folks are seeing strange things. It's like, okay, well then, what is it? What is its very nature of existence? Not going into the question of, you know, the existence of everything in general, but, you know, who made it? Where did it come from? What is it made out of?
Yeah.
What's controlling it? I mean, is it controlling itself? Is it, so to speak, a living entity? Or is it really just a powered, you know, awesome pulsating engine that they're testing and just zipping it across the skies and just, you know, whoever sees it. They won't believe them anyway. You know, it could be anything. It's just fascinating.
Multi-dimensional,
yeah.
Hyperspace, you know, that, I mean, my gosh, I mean, you know, where the time travel is involved or, you know, or they've somehow been able to learn how to manipulate time and space.
Exactly.
I mean, my gosh, I mean, think of the possibilities that opens up for all of us. I mean, it would, because humans right now are very limited according, you know, based on our way we have been taught.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We're very limited of what we can do. We're
right.
Dependent on someone else, you know, and whether it be, and it is based all on our religion, you know. but and politics, I would imagine. But to think that there is this these magical realms out there, you know, that we're not limited to, you know, as a person, we're not limited to just a 3D reality.
Right.
That, you know, that through mind, somehow we'd be able to, because they have thought that maybe there's that possibility that it could be some sort of a matrix. We are living in some sort of a matrix, even where our thoughts create our realities, you know, and you know, and somehow they've been able to be, these off-worlders have able to then be able to technically tap into that, you know, and be and through there be able to manipulate time and space and various realities and scenarios.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes on and on.
Oh yeah, you know, and we're right at this point in time when we're doing all this research, we're researching everything pretty much with well, not you, not me, but many are researching so much in a box.
Yeah.
Based on what we've been conditioned to think about what physics is, based on 3D reality or third dimensional reality.
Yeah.
But once we get, even once we get, from what I understand, I did a show with Serpo.org. I don't know if you've heard about it yet or not, but anyhow, they claimed that there was an alien-human exchange during the Johnson period. And this is where that show Encounters of the Third Kind came from.
Right.
But that it actually did happen.
Right.
And it concluded right during the Clinton times. Okay. And he wanted to keep it going, and then powers of higher powers than him said no, it's done. But apparently there's been some human and alien exchanges, and it works with this planet Serpo, which is supposed to be in the Zeta Reticuli area, which would have been in the area that Betty Hill had talked about. And he's supposed to be some sort of a gray. But they're able to eat, they're able to, you know, reproduce, you know, breed, you know, have children, various things like that. So they're not like the typical grays that, you know, we talk about. But anyhow, from what they explained, that as soon as you get out of the gravitational pull of Earth, out of our atmosphere, up into space even, time actually ceases. We're always thinking, you know, that time is a fourth or fifth higher dimensional realm. Time only exists in the third dimensional realm.
Yeah.
Outside of that realm, time doesn't exist. But apparently, from what this Serpo.org has to say, that same thing applies even in our dimension. Once you get outside of the gravity pull of Earth and you're getting into deep space, I suppose it's one thing, you don't have nothing to concentrate on.
Right.
So if you don't have the object to concentrate on and base events from, you know, it'd be difficult to, you know, to figure out what time is.
Hmm.
So, you know, what I'm getting at is we're so boxed in with what we've been taught in basic science books out of high school, and then continued on, you know, into the physics of college. But these books are so outdated.
Yes,
you know,
are.
That
from like 68.
Yeah, who's learning from them anymore? Because I mean, personally, you know, even in school, until all the school systems get set up the proper way with computers for every child, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, where they can do like Google searches on things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what are the kids learning? You know, I mean, because their books are so outdated. You know, we're really not. There's you know, we're really not giving the children the advantage that they need right now, because everything daily and sometimes even hourly right now, because things have picked up so fast.
Yeah.
Discoveries are just being made, just bam, 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 bam. You know, people discovering, underground cities in Cuba. You know, in the seas of Cuba.
Yeah,
you know, and then you know, being it now that we have been able to decipher the hieroglyphs. You know. Now we understand how to read these old hieroglyphs, where, you know, we're starting to understand what the Sumerians were talking about, you know. But at one time, we just thought they were pretty pictures on the wall, you know, on the pyramid walls, you know. And now we're finding batteries, we're finding CDs, and we don't even know our history, Linda. You know, our true history. Because I highly suspect that at one point in time, there was a huge cataclysm that took place that probably nearly wiped out most of Earth, and they had to go underground, you know, to order to survive until the Earth's surface was livable again. And in that time, they lost their technology. And then, of course, that's where we came up, and these scientists, they came later on, you know, they come in and they find these caves that these people lived in, and they says, oh, well, these people were cave people, they were primitive, they lived in caves, and these are cave paintings, you know, primitive paintings, but,
I guess in a sense it all goes back to, like you're saying, not thinking outside the box. They're just saying, okay, well, this is what cavemen did, so therefore that must have been, you know, they were just great artists, and that was about it.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, we could have, at some point of time, achieved a high technology, and some of us may have escaped to other planets, you know. Others stayed here and went underground, you know, and lived in safety until the time was right to come back out again. You know, maybe there was a high radiation level here on the surface where, you know, people had to stay underground. But the high tech, but I mean, so these people that are coming back could even be us. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Well, that would be interesting.
Yeah. I'll hold on 1 minute, please. Okay, I got a call coming in. Hold on. We're back. Okay. And you're listening to BUFO Paranormal and UFO Radio. Tonight we're speaking with Linda Moore, RogueSighting.com. That's RogueSighting.com. RogueSighting.com. You know what? I was saying that, and somehow that song with Mickey Mouse popped into my head, and so I'm trying to spell that, but in my head it's going MICKEYMOUSE. It's like, no, not now, not now. Go and have one of your crazy moments, Mary, when you're not doing a show. But anyhow, I mean, the possibilities, Linda.
Yeah.
Are just, I mean, they're just so, I find them just fascinating. What we're doing is better than sitting down and watching a show on sci-fi like X-Files or whatever, you know.
I agree with you, because it's like when I first started doing some looking into, you know, trying to find matches of what I had seen and filmed. Just the, when I was taking images off of my footage and then I would wait for the computer to process do the enhancement, it's like, okay, let's see what comes out. It's like with every frame, something of a different nature, the same object, the same characteristics would show, but then in different clock positions where it had moved, or, you know, just lining up the timeline of where it had moved from point A to point B down to C, and then enhancing the images and just waiting for the computer to process and enhance the image and clear it up. Is, you know, just the anticipation of waiting to see what would come out, and it's like, wow.
Yeah, yeah, it's adrenaline high.
Yeah, it's
cool.
Oh,
very yeah. I mean, there's just nothing like it, you know, and it's opening up our minds to all the possibilities. And isn't that what we, you know, we got people out there, you know, that, you know, like I said before, or it was starting to say, we have a lot of people out there like you that are just like totally into this, you know, as I am. But then you got other people out there that just, you know, they spend all their time debunking our work or making fun, you know, demeaning it. I shouldn't say making fun, but demeaning the value behind what we're doing. You know, and they take it almost personally, you know, to the point where they get angry, you know, because you're doing what you're doing.
Right.
And it's like, don't they understand that, you know, what we're doing is, even if we can't prove a UFO, okay, or an alien, we are expanding the mind to all the wonderful possibilities that are out there. Because as we're learning about UFOs and aliens, we're also learning about life on other planets, our history, our true history. We're learning physics, you know, we're learning about the invisible world around us, how the laws of the universe work, synchronicity, all that stuff. We learn it all. So, you know, forget about the UFOs, you know, the aliens. Allow us to be able to expand ourselves and being able to just allow us to just reach out there and try to touch that star. You know, what's wrong with it? I mean, I can't, I sure think it's a lot better than going to the bar on a Saturday night and getting drunk and then waking up the next day with a hangover, wondering what the heck you did, and wondering where in the heck that $100 bill was that it took you a week to save up, you know? But I mean, some people, they'll write to you and they'll say, well, it's Venus, or it's Saturn, or it's Jupiter, or it's a figment of your imagination. It was a balloon. It was your camera. They'll come up with these different possibilities, and you say, okay, maybe it was. So you go and you check it out, like a good researcher should. But at that point in time, when you've dismissed all those possibilities and you come up with your own idea, these people will turn around and say, they'll get angry, downright angry sometimes. I don't know if you've ever encountered it, but I know I sure have. You know, I'm going through a thing right now because of the fact that I chose not to go with the general consensus that whatever that was in the pond in Carbondale that landed in the pond in Carbondale that they thought was a UFO, and they later on said it was a lantern. Okay, and anyhow, and with me, I decided that the lantern, the lantern story didn't jive. So I decided to reopen the case and, you know, and check it out for myself of what really happened there.
Right.
Okay? Just to check it out for myself and then put it up on my sites of what I had discovered. Well, let me tell you, I mean, there was researchers that, I mean, were ready to tar and feather me and boil me in oil, you know, because they had already written it up as a hoax.
Right.
And God forbid if anyone else decided that it may be something other than that, or even brought up the possibility that it was something other than that.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we have witnesses now, you know, they see the UFOs like you did, I did, and they report it to a news channel. They say, say, oh my God, you know, we've seen this in the news channel. They'll get maybe they'll get 20, 30 reports, sometimes even more,
yes,
to the point where they have to do something about it. So they'll put something on TV, but they always finish it with, well, I wonder if it was one of those little green men, you know, with a cute little smirk. You know, it gets frustrating.
Well, you know, I have to say, with the news report they did here in Charleston, they did a good job. The reporter, Harv Jacobs, in fact, if you go to my website, I have the clip there. Harv Jacobs got both sides where an astronomer said at the weather balloon, well, he went to the weather service, and they said it wasn't one of theirs, that the closest thing they saw to that was when the gentleman's down in Houston, and they would release these huge air spheres up in the stratosphere for research, but it was not a weather balloon. And that was so cool that he went that extra step just to see, okay, he says it's that, let's ask him if it was. It's like, no, we didn't have any weather balloons out. And it was just so cool the way they did it. And they were just so open-minded about it. Even the anchorman and anchorwoman that were on, and, you know, the whole thing of how they did it. And then at the end, the anchorman, Bill Sharp, was like, well, what do you think it was? And Debbie Chart's like, I don't know, that was pretty cool. And he says, I think it was a UFO. And she just kind of laughed like, okay, yeah, right.
Yeah.
But they did a really good job of it, and I was pleased with it. They were very open-minded about it.
Well, they did the same thing when I was in Carbondale. I'll remember the name of the station here shortly, but they sent you know, their news crew down as well, and I'm trying to think of, let's see, give me a second, I'll pull up. I want to give them credit here if I can. Let's see, it was WBRE Live with Molly Heltern, that was News 22 reporter.
Yeah.
Out of outside of Carbondale. Well, she was covering the Carbondale, but anyhow, you know, they're the local news crew, you know, but they handled it very professionally.
Yeah.
I didn't really know if I even wanted to do the show, because, you know, the last thing I wanted to do was listen, you know, put myself up there and, you know, be mocked, you know, for being a chaser of little green men. But, you know, I did do the show, and then afterwards, Frank Scazzoletti or Ron Hanovic, one of the two, sent me the news clip of what they had done. And, I mean, it was done nothing but professional. I mean, no smart remarks or anything. They just did one heck of a good job. So maybe there's hope, huh? You know, maybe a new some new blood coming into the news, you know, that are willing to cover it in a professional manner.
Yeah.
You know.
It was, like I said, you know, there's been other reports that I've seen online where they end up turning it into a complete joke. And then there's the ones where they're, you know, even when they're doing the report, you could tell they were kind of iffy, like they're in the middle of doing their dialogue and whatnot, and then it's like you could see they're like, I don't think this is a good idea, you know, that kind of thing. So.
I think it was last summer, and listeners, I'm sure you'll correct me on this one if I'm wrong, but I think it was down in Indiana or Ohio area, down there in that area anyhow. There was a lot of UFO sightings, and people were seeing them as they were these UFOs as they were going to work, traveling on the interstate. And anyhow, they called in, and the radio reporter, okay, or one of the radio disc jockey, he also saw it. A bunch of other ones from the radio station saw it. And I'm just going to let that one go, okay? I got to call in, but they can call back. I want to finish this. If you want to call me in about 10 minutes, okay? 5 minutes, okay? I want to finish this, what I'm saying, though. But anyhow, they covered that thing all morning long.
Yeah,
with people calling in on their cell phones, reporting where this these UFOs were. They were other people reporting about various military coming in, roads being blocked off. I mean, that radio station, they never let up on it, you know,
yeah.
all that morning.
Yeah.
you know, if I remember right.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I got that radio, the show. I actually saved it as it was playing. I saved it, and so I do have that available for anyone that wants to listen to it. But they were really excited, you know. And so yeah, there's a lot of them out there that they're doing something. But of course, they really should, though, don't you think, Linda? Because there's there's over 80. I'm sure there's over 80% of the people now that believe at least in the possibility that something is up there.
Yeah, of what I gather, someone, if not themselves, someone knows someone that says, hey, I saw something weird.
Yeah.
I saw something, whether it would be UFO criteria or even paranormal, all of us have had some occurrence where one moment it's like, what the heck was that?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, that's crazy. And then there's the folks that never say nothing.
Yeah.
And, you know, because they're afraid of the ridicule. And then there's those that do say something, and they get the ridicule, and then they just let it go at that. And, I mean, you know, there's different variations, but I guarantee everyone has a story to where, hey, you know, back in 70-something, or, you know, last month over at Aunt So-and-So, I saw something weird. I mean, everyone has experienced it. Just some are willing to talk about it. Others just dismiss it. I mean, it's a wide range, but, yeah, definitely, you know.
Yeah. And folks, if you do want to call in on this show, because it is going live, and if you do want to call in on the show, today is February 10th, and this show is running from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and the time right now here is 7:39. So the last half an hour of the show, if there is somebody that wants to instant message us at Yahoo Instant Messenger, Burlington News, or you can call in at area code 262-767-2864. You can call in. I'll take your number, and I'll take it offline, you know, so that, you know, that people can't hear it over the live stream. And then I call you back, so you're dying my time. So you are welcome to call in. And for that caller that tried calling before, please call back, and we'll take your call this time. I just wanted to finish my train of thought on that, because sometimes thoughts come in and leave real quickly.
Yeah.
For me. You know, so anyhow, and again, we're speaking with Linda Moore, and you can go to roguesighting.com, and she saw a UFO in 2003. And became hooked like many of us others out here, and has been doing one heck of a job ever since, trying to document as much as possible. And she has a great reference site that you can go to, and it really educates you, you know, on what is going on. And if you've seen something, you might be able to go on Linda's site, look what she's got, say, ha-ha, that's what I'm talking about there. That's it. You know. And then also, if you go to my site, you're going to see a banner that says BUFO Radio, they're back, or they're here, a film produced by Linda Moore of RogueSighting.com. Just click onto that, and you'll see the genius behind this lady, you know, and what she can do as far as production goes. And from what Linda says, that, you know, she is up to being able to produce something like that for you as well. Right, Linda?
Well, it depends.
It depends.
I mean, yeah, between my schedule and that.
Yeah.
There are no guarantees, but, you know,
Send
me an email and, you know, we'll go from there, definitely.
But I got first bids. there's two of them. We've been discussing you a lot, because there's two that I wanted to work with you on. We're doing this satire type show. It's called Carbon D. Alien.
Yeah.
From Pranksylvania, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
it's like a 20-minute to a half an hour show we do now on Sundays where, you know, this crazy redhead, she's kind of like a modern day Lucy.
Yeah.
You know, it's a crazy redhead with these orange rim glasses, and, you know, and she's our sleuth down there in this alternate world. You know, it's an alternate reality type of the Carbondale, Pennsylvania is an alternate reality that she lives in.
Right.
But it's, you know, based off, you know, this reality of Carbondale, Pennsylvania. And of course, you know, I experience my thing through my reality show in this reality. And as this is happening in her parallel universe, she's experiencing some things, you know, but, you know, more in a comical way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cute, you know, we started it last week, and already people, you know, the various radio shows, e-zines, and, you know, things, various people are picking up on it and wanting to run her shows, you know, so,
yeah.
Yeah, and we have somebody, I'm not, you know, I do the interview with this lady, and then she, you know, but we have a real person out here that actually does it, and she's hilarious. And so, anyhow, we were talking the other day about getting a hold of you and having you do some sort of a, you know, a little, you know, lead-in, you know, like how you did with the UFO radio,
yeah.
You know, with the Carbon D alien lady, you
yeah.
know. We call her the Carb Lady.
Yeah.
but if you go to our site, it'd be burlingtonnews.net/CarbonDAlien. But it's spelled with a K instead of a C. So it'd be Carbon, C-A-R-B-O-N, and then D-A-L-I-E-N. So CarbonDAlien, one word. And so anyhow, you'll be able to go there, click on, see what she looks like. And then there, we've already got one show up. And all the shows are going to be up for the public to be able to listen to it, no charge. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, we're going to have all these shows running. And then, like, if we can get you to do that, like, a little lead-in, then, of course, you know, then we'll incorporate your work with ours and see what we can do with it, promoting it, you know. It'll be kind of cute. But anyhow, we kept you in mind on it. And it's like, oh, wouldn't it be so perfect for this, you know. And then also I wanted to have that other thing with the carbon, you know, the real reality, you know.
Yeah.
Like Carbondale, Pennsylvania, I wanted to have something done there, too, because I wanted, with that one, though, it was more serious. What I wanted to do was send that one out to, because, you see, I work with the History Channel. I work with Sci-Fi, with Discovery, in various places like that. As you know, I'll use Brad for that, Jesse, what was his name, Jesse? Monster Garage.
Yeah.
And then recently we were contacted by, is that ABC? I think it was ABC had contacted us. You know that Wife Swap show?
Yeah.
Anyhow, they're looking for, we think that we've found the lady for it, you know, but they're looking for, they're going to have like a wife swap of a paranormal investigator, a woman paranormal investigator that will switch, there will be a family switchover. She will be going to these people's house, and then that person's family, that woman from that family goes to her house.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think the 20 days or something like that. It's either 10 or 20 days. 10 days, I think it is, that they spend in each other. They swap, you know, positions, you know. So anyhow, we're doing that one, too. You know, so, and then I work with HBO. Oh, you know, I gather raw footage, various things. I try to find them people, you know, to fit various shows. So anyhow, I have all these people that I know and I've been working with. So anyhow, what I thought would be wonderful is if I could get you to do, like, something like you did for, you know, the film, that footage that you did for BUFO Radio for Carbondale, then I could send it to all these different people.
Yeah.
And see if we can't get them to, you know, do something, you know, a regular documentary on TV based off your work and our work here. So anyhow, we've had a lot of different things that we've been thinking about incorporating your work with it.
Yeah.
But like I said, I didn't want to really go into it too much until I put you on the spot on internet radio that where I had witnesses from all over the world listening to you.
Okay.
You know, to put a little pressure on you. You know what I mean? No, I'm just joking. Whatever you decide to do is fine by me. I just appreciate what you did for me with the UFO radio. But when I see something like that, and I see all the talent you have, and it's just like my mind, because I'm such a promoter, right? You know, it's in my blood. So when I see something like that, it's just like my mind just goes crazy thinking of all the possibilities of what we can do, you know, incorporating your work.
I enjoy doing that kind of work. I mean, I enjoyed going through your site. I spent a lot of hours going through your site. And, you know, just thinking of what sink would to go with what would go with, you know, this, how would it keep a good flow. You know, I kind of think really deep, even though it's like, I mean, even with like the small trailer I did for the upcoming project I'm working about the objects of mystery, it's like, okay, well, what can I put in here to be interesting, not just, you know, whatever, that kind of thing. I like to have it like, with it saying a story without saying anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best way, I guess.
Well, actually, you could use the Carbondale one, too, for your mysteries, huh?
Yeah.
Because, see, that's a sleeper. I don't know if you're familiar with what happened, but in 1974, a UFO crashed in the outside of Carbondale, Pennsylvania, in a silt pond. They had thousands of witnesses standing around that silt pond watching this thing underneath the water moving around, and the light lit up the pond and turned the pond into a greenish haze, you know, light that just filled the whole pond area, and it was going in and out, and then they had all this extra police that came in and military and I mean press. They had UFO researchers. Alan Hynek was down there. I mean, they had everyone down there. People, Walter Cronkite covered up Pravda from Russia, was contacting them, everything. And it was going on for a couple days, and then apparently they put up this canvassed area where in all these floodlights, and they're working, and then all of a sudden, you know, where people couldn't really see what was going on at that point in time. But like I said, there was thousands of, I mean, they got pictures, you know, where, you know, you could see thousands of people all standing on this hill looking down on this pond. And then what happened was this canvas goes up, okay, nobody could see anything. They wouldn't allow the media to get down in there, okay, to report what was going on. And then the next thing you know, the canvas goes down. Somebody jumps onto a boat with this this diver that came in from another state, some stranger that just happened to be going by, that just happened to have full diving equipment with him.
Right.
And they grabbed onto him, put him in this boat, took him out in the middle of the pond. He dives down into this pond. Okay, apparently the pond was about 50 feet deep. Dives into the pond, pulls out this railroad lantern. And they bring it out, and they says, oh, well, that's what this was for the last 2 days, folks. It was just nothing but a railroad lantern. Then they had this teenage kid that they had kept, these teenage boys that they kept in this car, okay, in the police car for hours. And then they took him down to the police station, you know, where, you know, with no witnesses, you know, where it was just him and the kids and him, the police officers. And they got him to write a confession that one of the boys had thrown that lantern into the pond to scare their sister.
Right.
And so that was it. The mayor and the acting chief of police at the time stepped outdoors, made an announcement to all these thousands of people into the world practically. Well, nothing here, folks. It's just a railroad lantern. Case closed. That was 30-some years ago, and by God, if the case wasn't closed, I mean, none of the researchers, really questioned it. And it was written up for all these years as a railroad lantern hoax. And then I reopened, somebody contacted me about 3 years ago and told me what was going on, and then last year I went to Pennsylvania myself to check it out, and I realized after talking to all these various witnesses, hey, something was in that pond.
Yeah.
Now, whether it was a UFO or one of our UFOs, we do know that it was about 15 feet in circumference, anywhere between 10 and 15 feet in circumference,
right.
And it was a large circular object. They actually had film, you know, that a few of the UFO researchers had seen of this object under the pond or under the water. Well, but the film disappeared, you know. So we don't have that anymore either. Well, of course, you know, all that stuff does disappear. I mean, we can't expect for it to be out there for the public to see.
Right.
So anyhow, that's what I've been focusing on. But, I mean, it's a sleeper case. I mean, it's been sleeping for 30-some years. But we've brought a lot of attention on it. And then, like I said, I've created a reality show on it, and then a parallel reality show on it.
Hmm.
So anyhow, if you wanted to use that as one of your mystery shows, I'd appreciate it.
Oh,
yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, it's one that gets the blood pumping, because there's a lot of people out there, a lot of the UFO researchers that have called it a UFO hoax over all these years.
Yeah.
I mean, they're furious over the fact that anyone is going to call it anything other than that. I don't know if it's embarrassing for them or what, but, you know, the way I look at it, you know, what may have looked, you know, as a very real possibility in 30 years, you know, new evidence coming forth in 30 years, you know, and various things being released through the Freedom of Information Act and, you know, things like that. I mean, you know, these old cases should be reopened again and reviewed, you know, because, I mean, we have so much more available for us today to do investigations, because 30 years we didn't have the Internet. There wasn't that means of being able to communicate back and forth with witnesses and other researchers and the media that may have covered it, you know, various things like that. But today with the Internet, I mean, you know, it's just all these different people, they're just, you know, just a matter of a click away, you know. So, you know, and that's what they've been doing with Roswell all these years too, you know. Every day, even yet today, new evidence is coming forth, you know, to keep the people's interest on what happened in Roswell. So, and so anyhow, Carbondale, I think, is going to be a new and upcoming point of interest for a lot of people. So, and the nice thing about it is the witnesses are still young enough. Because most of the, like with Roswell, what's happening is most of the first generation witnesses are all dying off.
Right.
There's only a few of them left. But with the Carbondale thing, you know, this happened in the 70s, 74. So, I mean, you know, only 30 years ago. So, you know, it's still fresh in the memory of a lot of first generation people.
Hmm.
So, anyhow, my little plug, trying to get you to use it on one of your shows there.
Well, it sounds interesting, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of other aspects, but that's something I'm definitely going to check out, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it's like any other thing. You put it up and you leave it for the person, you know, to decide for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, we can't, you know, it's like with your sighting and my sighting, I mean, we know what happened, you know, we know, but I mean, it's not up to us to break somebody's arm or leg, you know, to convince them of, you know, what we perceive to be true. We have to give them that freedom to make their own judgments, you know, so. But, you know, but anyhow, if you want to check it out, it's burlingtonnews.net/Carbondale, Carbondale. Dale. And so now, back to your story at roguesighting.com. People can go there, check out all your work. And you said that you're updating, and a few of your sites are down right now.
Yeah, right now it's just the initial home page, and those who have been regular visitors to the site, when they see it, they'll be like, oh, you know, everything's gone. Where is it? It's, you know, over the next few weeks, I'm going to be updating the pages, and then, you know, as long as everything stays on schedule, I'll be putting everything back up on the site. But for right now, it's just the one pager that has the full footage that you can watch, the news report that they did back in November 2003, and then there's a 7-minute short documentary I did on frame 227, which is the still frame that I believe is the clearest shot of the object, where it just seems to be hanging there, and it looks like, you know, the sunlight is actually beaming off the top of it. And then there's the other one, frame 103, where it was when it was first coming into view, and it seemed to be drifting down in kind of a ionized phase state, where to me it looked like it was either spinning or it was pulsating lights in different directions, and it was just kind of drifting. And then, of course, on the other side, there's the link to Strange Sightings, which leads you to clips of the object or what I might have filmed. It was just a weird sighting in December of 2005. There's a lot of footage there. And then, of course, the short trailer of the upcoming film that I'm working on, the short film of Objects of Mystery. And then, of course, they can see your trailer there. And then I have one that I had done for Brian Vike from HBCC UFO Research.
And he's out of Canada, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, there's links to various sites that has yours there on as well. And like I said, there's
It's fine to bring them up. That doesn't bother me at all. There's HBCC Research, or HBCC UFO Research, Jeff Rentz. And then, of course, there's BUFO. And then there's LA UFO, Sonora Sightings, CN UFOs. And you have Dark UFO up there, and Barb Campbell, NWSURC.
Yeah. But, like I said, it's being updated, so just be patient, folks, and all the good stuff will be back up there. It's just I take my time on the revamping of the site, and I want it to be a step up from what it was previously as far as the illustrations that I've done and having a little bit more compatible to the Mac users out there.
Yeah, poor Mac users.
Yeah.
I know. I feel sorry, you know, for them, but, like I said, the Mac users can see my sites, but it seems that because of their browser or something, they're not able to, it seems like it's kind of like a hodgepodge.
Yeah.
You know, the writing's there, but, you know. But apparently there's for Mac users, there's a browser that you can use, Foxfire or something like that. What is that called, Foxfire?
I think so.
Is it Foxfire? Firefox. You can go to firefox.com. Yeah, firefox.com, and they have a browser there that Mac users can download, and it makes, and it's compatible with Microsoft.
That's definitely useful.
Yeah, Firefox 1.5. Yeah. Huh? Oh, I guess it's only, well, we're checking it out right now, but I got somebody here that's checking it out for me, but what happens is the office, or the center is open when I do shows, so sometimes people come in and they use my other computers to listen to the show right here at the center. And tonight we... What is it? It's for Macs. And that way it makes it... all they have to do is download that, and then they can go and use your site, my site, or whoever's. Yeah. Nice to know.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah, I didn't know about it, but then Dwayne came in one time and told me about it, and I was like, cool, that works for me. I'm sure it'll work for a lot of the Mac users.
Yeah.
And we'll get back with you. Maybe we can start doing regular shows where you can give us updates, you know, on what you're doing.
Now that
the UFO is back, you know, I'm sure that you're going to have a lot more interesting things give us updated reports on. So.
Oh, yeah. It's been interesting, that's for sure.
Even if, you know, they're just like quick little half-an-hour shows, you know, just kind of like an update with Linda, you know, something like that. Okay. And, again, folks, go to roguesighting.com, and you'll have a lot of things. And also, folks, remember, this show right now is live, but I also tape it as we're talking so that I can take that taped show and download it onto the computer. Then from there, I run it directly onto my live stream. So for the rest of the week, you'll be able to just go to our live stream shows and be able to listen to this show. And you can, the easiest way to get through our live stream is just going to burlingtonnews.net/livestream. But also remember that for years to come, you'll still be able to hear this show on our on-demand site at burlingtonnews.net/listen. That's LISTEN. And I'll have this show up on our listen site as well as running through our live stream. And the listen site should probably be up by Saturday? Or is it Friday?
Friday.
Yeah, so within the next couple of days, I should have the show on the on-demand, but by tomorrow it should be playing on our live stream. Even maybe yet tonight, it kind of depends on if I don't wear myself out. Lately, I've been sleeping nights. I don't know why. For years, I couldn't sleep nights, and all of a sudden, my body's kicked into a new phase, and it seems like by 10 o'clock, I'm so tired and sleepy, I can't stay awake. So, who knows? I don't know. Sign of the times, I guess. But so anyhow, but the nice thing about the on-demand is instead of having to go listen to all the shows that's live streaming and then just catching Linda's show when it pops up, you can just go to the on-demand site and just go through the listings of the shows I have for that month and then click on to Linda's and it'll download and you'll be able to listen to it. If you have Broadstream, you know, just you click and you'll listen to it immediately. If you have a slow connection, like through dial-up, the best way to do is right-click, save target as, which will save the show onto your computer, and then just play, you know, directly off your computer. You know, you'll put it into a file, and then you open up that file, click play, and then it'll play nice and easy that way. And also, Linda, you're welcome to take this show, too, and put it on your site, you know, if you want
cool.
to. So anyhow, you got that from me. So, my gift to you. Okay, so thank you so much, Linda Moore.
Oh, no problem.
You're up. You know, and I'm sure that they, you know, one thing I want to bring up is that these people that are aboard these UFOs, they seem to know what they're doing. They have a way of communicating with us. And by appearing over Linda's home in 2003, I don't think that was by accident. I have a feeling that they knew the type of a person that Linda was and that she was a person that would get this information out. And I really do think that they are trying to make contact with us. They've tried it through the government. It didn't work. Now they're working with the regular people. And they're using people like Linda and myself, you know, that are willing to get out there, work on these websites and get this information out. And then they're working with other people, you know, that just, you know, are willing to tell people, that are willing to witness. You know, like in the Bible days, they talk about people witnessing, you know, and that a lot of the, you know, there's various religions today that go around and, you know, like the Mormons, they'll go around, the Jehovah's Witnesses do the same thing. They go from door to door and they witness, you know, they tell people their experiences, you know. And I think that this kind of works on the same way. They appear to people that they know will go forth and witness for them. And And so with Linda, that's what I think that they're trying to do is they're trying to, they trust her, you know, they're giving, they're exposing themselves, and she's doing a good job. But one more thing, Coral Gale, when she was doing all these photographs here in Burlington and filming, it always seemed that when we would be photographing the UFO, there was always seemed like every time, just about the time we figured out one thing, they would show something else to us.
Right.
And Coral Gale was convinced in the end that somehow they were communicating with us.
Oh, really?
By the various maneuvers that they did, you know, because of the fact that something, it's like they were studying us. Okay, well, they got that. Okay, they finally figured that out. Well, now we're going to turn around. We're going to do something else, you know? And then when we figure that one out, then they do something else. So she always felt that that was their way of educating us and communicating. So, anyhow, there's always that, there's a possibility there, too. So keep that in mind, too, as you're... because she'd actually be able, what she would do is when she was out there, because she would test it. And she'd go out there as she's filming and stuff like that. She'd say, she'd send thoughts out there, you know.
Yeah.
You know, she'd say, well, show me something different. You know, show me this, show me that. And I'll swear they did. You know? You know, she, you know, I used to get the biggest kick out of watching her. You know, sometimes it was more fun to watch her as she was filming than it was watching the UFO.
Right. You want to have a camera on her walking. Yeah.
You can hear in the background, you know, you can hear the excitement. She's like a little kid. But anyhow, good luck with your work, and God bless you for what you're doing for all of us. Because
you're welcome.
Yeah, I consider you a friend and a very wonderful lady.
Oh, well, that's nice to say.
Okay. You take care now.
All righty.
Okay, now I'll get in touch with you.
All right, cool.
Okay, great.
All right,
okay, bye-bye.